Nobody paints their portraits in oil. They don't get to sit near the president in the cramped cabinet room. The average American couldn't name them to win a cruise package. But deputy secretaries do much of the important day-to-day work of running departments and making sure policy gets carried out. The Trump administration has a precious 2 deputies confirmed, and that's a problem. Joining me with more, Mallory Barg-Bowman, Vice President for Research and Evaluation at the Partnership for Public Service. And I guess, Mallory, the poor deputies often don't get that much attention, but you've looked at it pretty hard.
Good morning, Tom. We have spent the past several years actually working with Booz Allen Hamilton looking at the deputy secretaries. And, you know, as you pointed out, this is not always the most well-known position in the federal government. In one report that we issued with Booz Allen, we quote one COO, and they say, what's the job description? They say, see the tethered goat in Jurassic Park, you know, referring to the sacrificial goat that was fed to the hungry Tyrannosaurus Rex. So this is a tough job in government, certainly without a lot of the glory, but it is perhaps, in my opinion, one of the most important positions because these are the folks who are really going to get things done in government.
What's the best guidance you have for, I mean, Elaine Duke was just confirmed as Deputy Secretary for Homeland Security. She's been there before. Now, it's been a few years, and so the furniture might have been moved around, but basically the department does what it did. So if someone is confirmed that's not been there before, where do they begin?
That sounds like it's a good place to start. So one of it is actually they can come to a report release. In the middle of June, we're going to be releasing with Booz Allen Hamilton a report on what agency COOs can do to help the administration implement its management framework that's out. But in the interim, we have a checklist, a guide for incoming deputy secretaries, and it really lays out the first couple things that they need to do in the first couple weeks. The first things that we have here are the people and issues that they need to familiarize themselves with. There's a lot of people in the organization, particularly on the career side, that are going to be instrumental in helping these COOs get their job done. The second is familiarizing themselves with the issues that the organization works on. A lot of times within an agency, the secretary focuses on the policy where the COO focuses on the management. So making sure that the COO knows the structure of the agency, who does what, that's really a great place to start.
Because without those relationships, it doesn't really matter what the policy is. It's not going to happen.
That's exactly right. The devil's in the details, and you can say the devil's in the implementation of that. We've seen so many government policies fail when it comes to implementing. It does, you don't have to go all that far back into history to look at, the unveiling of healthcare.gov. And, what everybody remembers with that had nothing to do with the policy, but that the website wasn't working. And those are the types of things that fall under the jurisdiction of the COO.
All right, so that's the first couple of weeks, and how do you survive long-term in a job like that? And by survival, I mean have some success, maybe even enjoy it a little bit.
Right, so I think it's a couple things. One is, we talked a little bit about the people. This is a good time to really meet with agency staff, both at headquarters and the field. A lot of these agencies are very geographically dispersed. You started off talking about Elaine Duke. Department of Homeland Security is in every state around our country. And this is a good opportunity to start building a plan to visiting the field and the regional offices. And when you go to those offices, it's a time to listen, really understand what's working, what's not working. This is also time to meet with chief management officials. Under the COO, in many of these agencies, you're going to have a chief human capital officer, a chief risk officer, a chief acquisition officer. This is a chance to understand how things operate. It's also a good idea in those first couple weeks to understand what's the first thing that's going to get you in the news? What are the big risks? And there's some really good places to start for that. GAO has an annual treasure trove of information that they put out in the high risk list and the overlap, duplication, and fragmentation report, which just came out last week. Those are really good places to start because they've already done the hard work. They've already figured out what could be better within the way the agencies operate. The other place to start is looking at the inspectors' general reports and go and talk with those folks. Really try to understand what's not working that needs to be improved and what is working that needs to be continued.
We're speaking with Mallory Barg-Bowman, Vice President for Research and Evaluation at the Partnership for Public Service. And what about managing upwards toward the secretary and maybe even, who knows, in some administrations, the vice president has been involved in management issues. And how do you make sure that they know that if you are in fact doing what you should be doing, to have some patience and give you some room to do it?
I would say there's three relationships that are essential for the COO. The first is the one you highlight with the secretary, making sure that you have clear division of responsibilities, clear open lines of communication. The second is with other chief operating officers. All of the agency's deputy secretaries, who are by default the chief operating officers, come together in the president's management council. This is an opportunity for them to work on cross-cutting issues and really make sure that they're well aligned with the management agenda of the president. We also bring them together here at the Partnership for Public Service. Chief operating officers, almost more than any other position, are well equipped to work across the enterprise. And then the third is with the career staff of the agency. You know, obviously, that's a big call. Again, thinking about Elaine Duke, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. So it really is a chance to use technology, use different ways to make sure you're visible and accessible to the workforce.
And what about the idea of limiting the agenda in some way so that things that are important can happen? Because often you see the scattershot of everything we need to do, but there's not enough resources or time to do everything. And so everything gets short shrift.
I think that's right. And, you know, I guess it's the old saying of what gets measured gets done. And the GPRA Modernization Act actually has some tools that are really helpful on this front. And specifically, I'm thinking about at the agency level, the agency priority goals. These are things that, you know, the agency has said are the things they primarily want to accomplish. And the chief operating officer is supposed to be chairing quarterly performance reviews, measuring agency progress towards these goals. That's a good place to start.
And occasionally things do blow up. I'm looking at Veterans Affairs. The equivalent of what happened at United Airlines can happen and does happen at federal agencies. How does the deputy secretary react most effectively in crisis situations like that?
The chief operating officer is going to be really important when crises hit. And all of the things that we talked about is why you need to have the foundation in place. You need to have the relationships. You need to have the trust of both the secretary as well as the career workforce. You need to be able to work closely and constructively with GAO as well as the inspector general community. And you need to have peers and other COO roles, because they're going to be the best ones to advise you of how to navigate those tricky waters when they, you know, inevitably come up.
I guess it would be important for the administration to get these people in place. And suppose you find yourself as an acting, and that could go on for some months. What's the best way to be effective acting and knowing you're not probably not going to get the top job or the number two job in a permanent or confirmed basis?
I think that's right. Well, I think, you know, being an acting, you don't want to use it as an excuse to not get things done. There's a large to-do list for the chief operating officer and even those individuals who are acting in that role, who a lot of times come from the career ranks and know the agency quite well. It's a chance to make sure that things that are in the pipeline that are happening, you know, continue to happen and are implemented well. And it's a chance to prep, you know, when the final chief operating officer does come in, to brief him and her and get them ready for success.
So it could be good for your career to be in acting for a little while.
Oh, sure. It's not a bad career move.
Mallory Barg-Bowman is Vice President for Research and Evaluation at the Partnership for Public Service. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Tom.
We'll post a link to this interview and to that report at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.